It's the American dream. Family comes to America, starts a business, works hard, and becomes successful. Started in St. Louis in 1904. We're going to hear the story of Spiegelglass Construction. On this weekend's edition of The Business of Family Business, it's presented by CMA Consulting. We tell the stories of family businesses from across the region. And if you have a family business story you would like told on this program, reach out to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. The website is cmaconsult.com. We're happy to have Dan Bean from CMA, also Barry and Tim from Spiegelglass Construction. What exactly do you guys do at Spiegelglass Construction? Can I ask you, Barry? You're third generation. You've been there the longest, right?
So far.
So far. So what do you guys do?
We are commercial general contractors. Mm. We build restaurants, stores, offices, anything commercial. And we've built a lot of stores that are familiar with and restaurants in the regional shopping centers.
Have you always been commercial?
We have been commercial for most of the time.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, we started in 1904. My grandfather started when he immigrated into the United States. Mm-hmm. And he had a push cart downtown, and he did repairs, carpentry repairs. And it just grew and grew. And he had a lot of residential clients as well as commercial. But now for the last 30 years, it's been commercial.
So what would a push cart look like? Is it exactly how I would—
A little wagon like what you're talking about without a horse.
He was the horse.
He was the horse and the fixer.
Where was the original location?
It was out of his house, which was downtown in an apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
And then they grew and they moved west to out in off of Clayton and Skinker.
Yeah. Joe was your
grandfather. Yes.
And he moved here to St. Louis. He didn't grow up here. He wasn't born here.
He's from Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And immigrated in 1903.
Mm-hmm.
And he started immediately working as a repairman, carpenter.
Why did he pick St. Louis?
He had a brother here.
Was a business owner right off the bat. He came here and started a business immediately.
By necessity.
I see.
Right.
Did he have any family that came with him?
Yes. He was married and had his oldest child.
Would that be your father?
That was an aunt of mine.
My
father was born in the United States.
I see. Okay. So 1904 was when it started.
Right.
A lot happened in 1904.
A lot happened in 1904. And the theory is that he actually did some carpentry work at the World's Fair.
Oh, is that right?
And then once that was over, he started doing his repair work.
For the most part, they tore all that stuff down after the World's Fair, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so there wouldn't be anything that would be around anymore.
No. No.
Did he ever tell you stories about that?
Unfortunately, I was very young when he passed away.
Oh,
so I did not hear those stories.
Okay. Was your dad in the business
My father, Harold, went into the business in 1946 after the war.
Okay.
And then it became Joe Spiegelglass and Son.
I see. How old was your grandfather when he moved here? He must have been pretty young then.
He was about 22, I think.
Okay, 22. Yeah.
22 or 23.
So your father gets involved roughly 40 years after that.
Yes.
Your grandfather worked a long time then.
Yes.
Yeah, so up until his passing?
No, he would have passed away in 1957.
Okay.
And he was already retired.
I see.
But my father was running it then.
What would that cart hold? Like, what would he carry around in that cart when he would go to business?
His tools and excess lumber.
Yeah?
And, you know, for repairs.
Wow.
I mean, this is like you'd see a gentleman having a tool sharpening company on a push cart. That was what it was like.
I imagine that old Charlie Chaplin movie, The Kid, where he's going around with glass on his back. Something like that?
That would be exactly right.
Wow. Was he the only employee at the time, or did he have people?
He was the only employee.
So he would cart everything around from the start of the day till the end of the day, go back home, and do it again the next day?
Correct.
Wow. Did he have a lot of business?
We had enough to make a living.
He had enough to make a living, and then eventually it grew. How long did it take before the business started to grow, you think?
It was, as I understand it, in the 20s. He was doing very well, and then, of course, the recession hit.
Mm-hmm.
But by then, he was already had a nice company going.
Yeah. Joe Spiegelglass. What was your father's name?
Harold.
Harold. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're Generation 3, and Tim, you're Generation 4, yes, which is here too. How much of the legacy of the family were you familiar with growing up? Was it important for you guys to know about your great-grandfather and how the business started?
Yes. My nanny, unfortunately, my grandpa was passed away. Mm. Just after my father joined the business, actually. So I never really knew my grandfather.
Okay.
I was actually the only boy on that side of the family and the youngest.
Oh, okay.
And my grandfather died, I believe, 6 months after I was born.
Wow. So how did you get interest in the business?
Well, it started out when I was young. I used to go with my dad after hockey practice or different things and go visit the job sites. I would push around a broom or do whatever he gave me a little money to do at that age. And then it eventually grew into when I was in high school, I used to drive the truck around and deliver tools and do some laboring for him over the summer.
No carts,
but we did have to meet at the kitchen counter at 6 a.m. no matter what when I was in high school.
So that was the meeting time.
No matter what time.
So 6 o'clock. What would happen there? It was almost like you're meeting with the foreman. You're figuring out what your assignment was for the day.
This was before cell phones, so he'd give me a list, and GPS. He'd give me a list and directions of where to go during the day.
Yeah.
And literally, I'd see him at the office at 4 o'clock or so at the end of the day, unless he called me on a beeper.
What did your job look like then compared to what do you do now?
Dramatically different.
Yeah.
My father and I run the business together.
Mm-hmm.
I call it divide and conquer. We both have our own separate clients, but know each other's clients. We run our own jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my jobs are Wasabi, the Wasabis, Rock and Brew, mm-hmm. First Watches, Noodles and Company.
Real big names. I mean, well known in the community and businesses around here.
Yes, sir. So
are you guys different divisions, or are you just separate your clients because it's easier to manage them that way?
We separate it because it's easier to manage. We like to have a client see them from the beginning mm-hmm. to the end with one person,
right,
rather than push them off to other people in the company. So we divide it by jobs and mm-hmm. and then we develop the list of clients.
Okay, great. So what happens when you meet with a client? What are some of the things that they come to you? Is it normally they're coming to you with problems and you're helping them fix it, or are they starting in maybe a business or a new location and you're building from scratch?
Usually it is a referral. Mm-hmm. We do not do any advertising. Mm-hmm. It's all either word of mouth or a referral.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of repeat clients that come to us, and they come to us with an idea or a plan to say, well, this is what we'd like to build and this is what we envision.
So where has that vision of Spiegel Glass Construction actually taken them? We'll find out next. We'll continue our conversation with Tim and Barry. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And as you know, 2/3 of family businesses, they don't make the generational transition. This is a unique story because they're in the 4th generation. That's pretty impressive. Doesn't always work out that way. And a lot of times you find out that few business owners are actively working to unify the next generation to help them become the effective owners they need to be. Let me tell you about CMA Consulting and the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. They work with you by designing topics to support effective family business ownership and unify them to the next generation. If you haven't actually sat down with members of your family and discussed what's going to happen next, it's time. Don't wait any longer. What are you waiting for anyway? Use the Business of Family Business Ownership Program, and it starts by giving them a call, 314-721-1860. It doesn't hurt anything to call them up and say, what can you do to help our family business? The website, if you want to check them out, cmaconsult.com. To the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and it's presented by CMA Consulting, joined in studio with Dan Bean from CMA. Also, Barry and Tim from Spiegel Glass Construction, telling the story of their family business. Let me talk to you about this, Barry, because you've been in the business since, what year did you start?
1972.
A lot's changed since then.
Before 1972, I did do what Tim did. I worked for my father in the summers, and also growing up, I went to the job sites. At that time, we didn't meet at the kitchen table. We met at a restaurant around the corner.
Wow.
And
around close to the house.
Close to the house, right.
Where did you grow up?
University City.
So when you would meet for breakfast, you would go out there, you would do your assignments, and then...
Actually, it was kind of a semi-office because other people in the company would meet there and we would have breakfast and discuss the day's activities.
How big was the company then?
Was not big. There would be about five of us or six that would meet every morning.
Mm-hmm. How many employees all total you would have?
It's hard to reconcile because you hire people sometimes for jobs.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, it could be 20, could be 25 mm-hmm. at the time.
Yeah, a lot to work out.
Right.
But meeting in the morning, the communication is pretty important to figure out what you guys are doing.
Right. But now it's a lot easier. We have cell phones and, you know, instant communication. Then it was not like that. It was once a day and then at the end of the day.
How are you with email, Barry? Are you pretty good with that?
I'm very good with email.
Yeah. That probably helped a lot with communication, trying to get a hold of everyone.
That is actually the difference between now and then. Is a communication and being able to get answers right away.
Yeah. Are people pretty quick to answer? I mean, I'm assuming people want to get things done quickly, so they're pretty actively looking for emails and ways to communicate anymore.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Yes, and everything is looking for, everybody's on the same page to get the job done. They all want the job done so they can open up whatever business that we're in.
Spiegel Glass Construction, where are you guys located now?
We're in Westport off Worthington Access Drive.
It's a really nice plaza over there.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Easy commuting. We just finished Kobe Steakhouse that's there.
That's a really nice area. There's a lot of expansion going on over there, too.
Oh, yes. A lot of restaurants, good area.
How long have you been over there for?
We just moved in this location about 4 years ago now. And before that, we were in our previous location for 13 years.
When you decide on some of the projects you work on referral, what are some of those things you look for? Like, is there anything that are landmark known for your company?
We just completed the Shake Shack in Central West End. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to do another one in Kansas City on the plaza.
Wow. So you guys expand. You have a pretty big territory then.
Yes, we follow our clients in the Midwest for the most part.
How many states do you guys reach?
Say about 12-ish.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yes.
You have people all over then.
Some days.
What do you guys like about St. Louis? I mean, you both grew up here, right? Yeah.
Yes.
What do you guys like about this area? Because you go and you travel to different areas across the country, but what do you like about here?
I would say that the values here are solid, and also the workmanship here is the highest quality you could find in the country. When we build in other cities, there's nothing like St. Louis's quality.
Mm-hmm. Spiegel Glass Construction, you see a lot of brick in St. Louis. Do you sometimes have to match the feel of certain areas that you go into?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's, you know, and then there's historical renovations. We don't do a lot of it, but we do some of it, and that's very important, and it gives us character, gives the city character.
Yeah, I think that's good. Let me ask this to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I want to play off that word character. So trying to find the character of a company, you've heard about them and they've been around for over 100 years. How important is that when you have a family business, you have that character?
So we use the word normally culture more so than character.
Mm-hmm.
But just like every individual has his or her own personality,
mm-hmm.
every company has its own culture.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is kind of the way we do things around here. Generally, most things about culture are not written down,
mm-hmm.
but everybody kind of knows the norms and the expectations and the do's and the don'ts, and we all just kind of fall in line. So culture is a little bit like gravity. It affects us every day,
mm-hmm.
but very seldom do we ever stop to think about it.
Yeah. It's kind of like meeting at a restaurant or in the kitchen in the morning and getting together. It kind of adds that culture together, the family business culture. What's it like working, by the way? What's it like for you guys to work together? Is it a good working relationship? Do you guys sometimes get into it like a reality show?
This is not a reality show. We do not get into it. We get along very, very well. One of the reasons why I wanted to join the business is because of the relationship that we've had since I started joining them at 6 a.m. right at the breakfast table.
Yeah. When you watch, I've known family businesses. It's very difficult to work with family sometimes because the emotions could run really high. So how do you guys keep a very good working relationship?
I think that when one of us has a strong opinion on a particular problem or job or whatever it is, I think the other one is listens well, and together we make a compromise or we acquiesce to the to the one that has a really strong opinion.
Take me to that table. So what happens when there is a conflict where you guys want to do something differently? How do you work through it?
Usually it's the person that has the strong opinion is going, the other person is going to bend to that person. But the norm at our coffee table is that we would have this mostly we would have the same position.
Mm-hmm. Barry, what was it like when you were working with your dad? What was that relationship like?
Well, unfortunately, I was very young when he passed away. I had just been in the business for just barely 5 years. So most of it was I was learning from him, and he was calling, you know, all the decisions or most of the decisions. And it was a good relationship, but it was more father-son than partner.
I see. Right. So let's talk about that a little bit. How did that influence the way you manage the business today?
Well, after my father had passed away, my brother Mel and I owned the business, and we worked together very well. We worked together for 30 years. We had that relationship where we were where when one person had a real strong opinion, we usually talked it out. We never got into an argument. We never we just did our work and enjoyed it, and we were close personal friends also.
Yeah.
So that influenced me when Tim came into the business, and we just kind of flowed that same way.
Right. Sometimes you see that. It's interesting the dynamic you had with your father, because as the generation and the owner of the business, he made the decisions. When you and Mel got together, you didn't really manage the business the same way when Tim came in. You guys collaborated more than you did with your father.
Correct.
It just worked better that way?
I think it does, and it's much more peaceful. And plus, I get the benefit of the other person's knowledge rather than just one person leading.
Is Mel still in the company?
No, Mel retired in 2008.
Okay. So when he retired, was there a transfer of ownership? Did he maybe pass anything on, or did you buy him out or anything like that?
I bought him out.
Okay. So when it comes to ownership of the company now, are you sole ownership or do you?
So now we have started a transition of ownership to Tim, and it's been going on for several years, and we're going to finish that off.
It takes some planning to transfer like that over.
It takes a lot of planning.
Regaining footing inside the family business. We'll hear what happened to Tim coming up next on The Business of Family Business, highlighting family businesses from across the region. This week is Spiegel Glass Construction. Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and it's presented by CMA Consulting. Dan Bean from CMA joins us in studio, along with both Barry and Tim from Spiegel Glass Construction. We're going to hear about Tim's journey, and maybe you have a journey yourself, a family business that has a great story to tell. We would like to hear from you. Reach out to Dan Bean, his website, cmaconsult.com. Send him an email. Let him know you're interested with The Business of Family Business. What's that like on your side, Tim, the planning side of everything? Because you've been working and you feel, you know, you're well into the company, you know how it's run, but sometimes things just take time, you know? So how does that feel on your side, the transfer of ownership?
Well, it has taken a lot of time. I mean, it's been since, obviously, I was driving the truck, and after college, somebody, my dad read about in a book that you should move and go work for somebody else after college. After college, I went and moved to San Diego, which was a great experience. I worked for somebody else for about 5 years there and then came back here.
How old were you when you moved to San Diego?
I was 22, 23 years old.
Okay. Are you married?
Yes, I'm married with three lovely daughters.
Did you meet them here or in San Diego?
My wife actually followed me to San Diego.
Oh, okay. So you were married and then moved to San Diego.
We were dating and then moved to San Diego.
Okay.
Almost when we were back, we got married.
And then you have how many children now?
We have three girls.
How old are they?
9, 7, and 4.
Still pretty young.
Yes.
Do any of them do any work around the shop? Any sweeping or anything like that?
Not yet, but I'm hoping one day. No pressure, just like it was on me.
Yeah.
But I would hope one day that if anybody was interested or any of my nieces or nephew was interested, I'd love them to come in the business.
What did you learn when you moved?
Well, let me tell you a story about my first day, my first week on the job. Mm-hmm. So when we moved back, my car was still being transferred. I didn't have a house. My wife and I were living in the basement of my father's house. Mm-hmm. And he said, let's start work on Monday. And I said, okay, but I do not have a car. I don't have in my clothes. I don't have anything before this. So he says, okay, I'll drive you to work. So throughout the week, he drove me to work, drove me home, paid for my lunches, did what I thought the father of the thing was to do. At the end of the week, I get my paycheck, and it is for 1 cent. And I still have this in my office. He gave me my regular one, but he deducted for the car, for the house payment, mm-hmm. for all these different things. It was a good joke on me, but he did pay me my regular paycheck.
Let me ask you this, Barry. From your perspective, what happened when he moved out to San Diego?
Well, we had this discussion that he should work for someone else. And, I was thinking, well, he'd go work down the street at a different construction company. Everything would be fine. He says to us, to my wife and I, that he's going to move out to San Diego and be with a buddy that he has out there mm-hmm. and get a job out there. And my wife turned to me and says, I'm very mad at you because he's never going to move back from mm-hmm. San Diego. Who would move back from that beautiful weather and everything? But it worked out.
Yeah. How long were you out there for?
For 5 years.
That's a long time.
It was. It was a great time. So, couldn't ask for a better place to move.
But you decided to come back.
Yes. For the business and then we thought it was a better place to raise our family. At mm-hmm. that time, I was married and we were talking about having kids. And right. we think St. Louis is a much better place.
Never regretted it, did you?
No, it was a great time when I was out there.
Coming back to St. Louis and the raising your kids here and everything that comes around, it is a really great community. So you don't really see snow in San Diego. You have the beaches. It's supposed to be 70 degrees year-round or something like that. You come back to St. Louis. What were those experiences you brought back that, I guess, influenced you professionally?
In San Diego, I worked for a pretty tough boss, mm-hmm. and I did not want to be that same boss when I came back here. Hmm. And I thought that it should be more of a team approach, just like what my father and I do together. Mm-hmm. And we instill that from our superintendents to our subcontractors all the way down, mm-hmm. that it should be a team and with our partners, our clients mm-hmm. as well.
Barry, were you trying to bribe them to come back during those years?
No, but my wife was very happy when he did.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. This is, I think, a pretty common thread that you see with a lot of different family businesses where someone leaves and gets experiences and then comes back to the company with those experiences and it enriches the family business.
There's a lot of conventional wisdom out there that says, let the next generation work somewhere else. It's important to not just work only in the family business, to only work for family members. Go get some experience, build some credibility, maybe even get a promotion. Learn what it's like to work for someone else, broaden your perspective, mm-hmm. and then come into the business. You come in with more confidence, more self-assured, more experience, and with more credibility. Mm-hmm. So that is the logic for that. It's appropriate for some businesses. For other businesses, it's not appropriate. It depends on the family and business situation.
Right. So, Barry, when did you start talking to Tim about transitioning Spiegel Glass Construction?
5-6 years ago.
So you've been back from San Diego a while. That wasn't the main motivation to come back. It wasn't something that they said, if you come back, this is what could happen, or was that the plan?
There is never any plan of that. I thought if I worked hard enough, I could get there.
And you have. I mean, you're going through it right now. So you started this transition a couple of years ago. What did you do to put a plan together? Is it something that you use from experience between maybe you and your dad, or something that you worked on between you and your brother after he retired?
When my brother was thinking about retiring, we had met with an advisor, and through that experience, I think we figured out, and with our accountant and Scott Alton and some other advisors, mm-hmm. we came up with this plan.
Ryan, did your brother have any kids that had interest in the company?
No, he has two daughters, but they're not interested in the company,
right.
And they live in another city.
And there's other family members, but it for the most part, there wasn't a lot of interest.
Correct. I have a daughter also.
A daughter,
and she's married, and there's no interest.
Okay. She does her own thing right now.
Right.
Is she still in St. Louis?
She is still in St. Louis. We are very fortunate. We have 6 grandkids here in St. Louis.
How great is that?
Great.
Do you spoil them?
Do I spoil them to him?
Yes.
It's kind of the
guilty
job.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, but you couldn't be happier to have them all here, I bet.
And that is correct. It's wonderful.
So what about your sake? I mean, at some point, you're going to have to retire too, right?
Yes, it's coming sooner, yeah. I guess, than later. But okay. I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy working with the clients.
But one day...
One day.
You look into it. So let's talk about the succession and what's going on. From what I understand, there might be some voting stock that's involved. So how do you guys, I guess, structure the ownership of the company, and what are you transferring?
It is voting stock that we're transferring.
Right.
And it's just being done over time.
I see. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, can you kind of talk about how that works and how common that is for family members to transfer the stock?
To have a generational transition, there's two components, transitioning leadership mm-hmm. and transitioning ownership. We say transition leadership first, make sure the next generation can lead the business, mm-hmm. and then transfer ownership. So ownership is transferred through stock, mm-hmm. and every corporation has voting stock. Mm-hmm. Some corporations have voting and non-voting. Mm-hmm. And voting stock has both control and wealth associated, and non-voting stock has no control mm-hmm. but has wealth. The wealth component is you're entitled to dividends or distributions, mm-hmm. and you get the capital appreciation. As mm-hmm. the value of the business goes up, your stock is worth more. Mm-hmm. Non-voting stock has no control. You don't have a say in major decisions. Mm-hmm. So a lot of families will transition voting stock to manage the current generation's estate plan mm-hmm. and do it as a way to manage their tax liabilities. And then later, after the next generation has proven itself as effective leaders, mm-hmm. they will then last transition the voting control.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense. That's why it's a complex thing. It takes time and it takes a lot of consideration to make sure you're doing the right things.
But again, there's no one formula that's right for every family business. Right. So these two get along well. They've worked this out. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt this is going to be successful for them. That does not fit every family business.
We'll continue one last time with both Tim and Barry from Spiegel Glass Construction, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. This is the Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA, and if you have heard this program before, you know what goes into a family business. There's a lot of emotion along with the business side and the business decisions. I want you to imagine how that plays a factor when it comes to the decision-making of perhaps retiring or transitioning the business to the next generation. Reach out to CMA Consulting. They're a leading multidisciplinary team that helps family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to become effective owners. Think of every aspect that the next owner of a family business would need to know about. So you have tax and accounting and legal and banking and risk management and talent experts. You just can't hand over the keys and expect the next generation to know everything. That's why CMA excels in helping increase the odds of successful generational transitions and keeping that family harmony. Reach out to CMA for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business and upcoming generational transition, or really, just call and say, what can you do to help my family business? The website is cmaconsult.com, or call them at 314-721-1860 to see if they can help your family business. They've helped many in the St. Louis region. They can help yours too. The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting, in studio with Spiegel Glass Construction for one last time. If you know a family business and they have a great story to tell, we want to hear from them. Reach out to Dan Bean, the website cmaconsult.com. Just send Dan an email and say, hey, we have a story. We would like you to share it. I know you guys normally will talk things out when you have some sort of conflict, or maybe you're going to make a big decision at Spiegel Glass Construction. Do you have any outside people you talk to and trust when it comes to some of these really large decisions, if you're going to make something that could really impact the company?
We definitely talk to our accountant, Scott Alden. Mm-hmm. We work very closely with Enterprise Bank as well.
You talk to your accountants, your bankers, things like that. I don't know if there's any other business owners or people that you would normally really trust that you've relied on in the past, but for the most part, you're able to consult with each other and get a pretty good feel and You guys trust each other that way, of course.
Yes, we have a deep trust in each other and in our abilities, each other's ability.
What would you say your strongest abilities are? It sounds like a job interview question. Like you're gonna, someone's gonna come in and ask you that.
I would say relationship management.
Yeah. Have you ever taken any courses or anything along those lines that would help you with that?
The course every day is with my father.
Yeah.
And he's very good at talking to people and letting them understand and standing them.
Right. That's how you've learned.
Yes, sir.
By example.
By example is the best part.
This probably makes you feel pretty good.
It does.
You've always led by example then. Is that something you've consciously done or is that just maybe something that's come natural to you?
No, but we grew up in a culture that was very respectful of people.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you did for a living or who you were, you afforded them the respect that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to talk to anybody, no matter all of that I saw growing up, and I think that just came natural.
Are there any, I guess, trials that you go through when you're working at the company? Because I read about something about a truck without air conditioning. That's got to be difficult to work in something like that in this industry during a hot summer.
So that story goes back to when I was in high school and we needed a new truck at Spielglass Construction.
Yeah.
And I saw what they were going to get and I saw there was no air conditioning. Or back then it was CD players.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm going to wait a good time because I learned how to negotiate well. And so I waited to the right time, which was at my family dinner where we had my uncle and all the family around and my grandma, which is named Nanny. And I said it right in front of Nanny. I said, do you know that your two sons are not going to get me air conditioning on my new truck? She slammed her hand down the table and said, my grandson is getting air conditioning no matter what.
Uh-huh.
And to this day, every one of our trucks have air conditioning. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, sometimes you're lucky to just have FM radio, so you really got a good upgrade with air conditioning.
Or a push cart.
Or a push cart. There was no air conditioning unless you ran or was going downhill or something with a push cart. So that helps. Outside family members, they can put their foot down and really influence the business, can't they?
Yes.
Do you guys ever talk to your wives and say, you know, maybe get their feel for something when you need a little, maybe an outside idea?
They're always a good sounding board.
Yeah?
You know, in any family, I think, you know, the spouse hears a lot and hopefully gives their two cents.
They probably have a pretty good gut feeling for what's going on, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have they ever worked in the business or have they always been outside?
My wife has not worked in the business, but Yona is my daughter-in-law, and she is creative and marketing.
Oh, neat. I keep looking at some of the way the business is going. How do you guys prepare on the technology side for the way all of these different trends just keep coming down, it seems like, constantly?
Well, the first thing we do is the plans have changed in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
So all the plans are digital. We used to have subcontractors and everybody used to come in and actually look at plans.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all emailed out. So that relationship has kind of changed a little bit. So now we're sending out more sets of plans over email. And managing that is tougher to do because you're dealing with a lot of subs that you may have not have heard of much and have a relationship with.
So how do you vet the people you work with?
Well, number one, we usually get them by referral.
Mm-hmm.
And then we check them out and see what they've done, what work they've accomplished, and what they have on their books. Then it's a lot of times it's the first time it's a face-to-face or a gut feeling.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to that sort of thing, referral is pretty important.
Absolutely.
Just like for when it comes to your business, people refer you and that's how you get to talk to new clients.
That's the strongest thing you could ever have is someone to refer you to another client.
Yeah. So that's very important.
Yes.
Of course. How do you cultivate referrals?
It takes a while to build your business. And as the years have gone by, our business has grown through referrals and customers that have also developed into new clients. They've moved on to a different business and they brought that business to us. An example, if we worked with a project manager at one company that they were working for and they moved to a different company, hopefully when he has a project there, he calls us and now we're working for two different companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of it is longevity.
Yeah.
And part of it is having that strong relationship where you work the project all the way through with, and you get that sense with the person.
It's a pretty big honor when someone refers you.
Absolutely.
Probably means a lot when someone gives you a call and say so-and-so referred you. It goes to show the strong relationship you've built over the years with these different clients.
The reason we did Shake Shack was because people were, every time this guy, the head of the construction, he was looking for somebody, different people, real estate people, or you know, people that he'd ask would mention our name.
Mm-hmm.
The coincidence is the Shake Shack here is owned by Danny Meyer out of New York, a very famous thing. I built for his father here in St. Louis two restaurants in Clayton 30 years ago. That wasn't the referral because his father passed away a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a circle coincidence, which was weird. But he got our name not from that. He got our name because he was asking around.
So when you sat down to talk to them about it, did you say, oh, I knew your dad?
I did after I met the construction manager.
Right.
And then he said it to Danny Meyer, you know, his boss. And then when we went to the opening, we discussed it.
That's got to feel pretty great, the full circle 30 years later.
Yeah. And it does happen every once in a while. We work for a client that we worked a long time ago, and they come back.
That's a good story. I like that. I know you guys mostly work on referral, but sometimes, I'm sure people listening here right now, they may be wondering when the right time is to involve a general contractor. What kind of advice would you give them if they're trying to figure that out?
For sure, before you sign the lease. Once you sign that lease, you're on the dotted line. There could be in a strip center, for example, there could be a different location, even in that strip center, that could be dramatically less in cost than the other one. So before you sign that lease, please call a general contractor.
And what would a general contractor do generally before you would sign a lease?
They would give you a budget. They would also look at the utilities, which is a very important part of it, especially if you're building a restaurant, and give you an overall sense of what that building is, the construction part of it.
Okay, so it's a good idea for planning purposes to always contact one first just to see what the plans would be, what the cost would be, to make sure that you're getting into something that you're anticipating as opposed to over your head.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
It's probably easy to get over your head on some of these projects.
Too many people.
Is there any hardships, anything that you guys have worked through that you'd like to talk about?
2008, when the economy took a nosedive, construction was hit very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, we, like everybody else, we cut expenses and we tightened our belt. But we were fortunate because several of our clients continued to build through the recession. They were still expanding. St. Louis Bread, for example, we've done a lot of those.
Yeah.
And we were able to keep our crews and keep working and survive until the better times, which are definitely now.
You guys are doing well right now at Spiegel Glass Construction, and there's a lot of family businesses that may have looked at some of the work you've done, or just like the structure of the family business and the things that they've heard on this program. What are some tips or advice you might be able to give them as they may be going through a lot of the similar situations you've gone through in the past?
We have a four-prong approach, basically. It's very simple. You treat people right. You deliver the project on time. You have very high quality. And you earn their trust.
Trust is a big part of it.
Huge part of it. It happens over time. As you educate people and you show them and you're very transparent and you communicate with them, they will eventually earn their trust and they will come back again.
Yeah. That's something that I think most family businesses understand. Trust is a big part of what they do. And obviously, it's a huge part of what you do when it comes to all the different work and everything you're involved with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The high quality is definitely part of it, too, though, as well. We watch in. We're very detail-oriented. Both Barry and I actually visit each project to make sure that it meets our standards as well.
Never once do you have to question getting air conditioning in a truck.
No, never again.
Never again.
Never again in my company.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. This is a rich history. 1904 goes back over 100 years. You heard the story of Spiegel Glass Construction. What are your thoughts on it?
A great American success story for someone to move to this country and be able to move from a push cart to a very viable 114-year-old construction firm that's moving from generation three to generation four. And what I think the listeners heard today was part of the reason why this family's been so successful. It's the respect between father and son and how they have managed to work together more as partners rather than father-son and do everything together and take great care of their clients. And that makes for a great success.
Thank you guys for coming on to the Business of Family Business.
Thank you very much.
That's Tim and Barry from Spiegel Glass Construction, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You can go back and listen to this episode on our website at KMOX.com. We podcast the Business of Family Business and the great family stories there. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Thanks again for joining us this week. We'll see you soon.